ministry this weekend. Thank the Lord.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
And friends and visitors. It's wonderful to have some visitors in the house this morning. It's always, this is why the church is here. Amen?
Amen.
So, my name, as you see, as Pastor said, Leroy Thompson. My wife is not with me on this trip, but she's definitely praying for me. And I'm secretly hoping that you'll invite me back. So, we serve with International Gospel Mission. It's a Baptist missions agency. I'm going backwards. I should be going forward. All right. So this is my family. To my what's that, left? There's a guy standing there. That's my son-in-law. And he's married to the next, that young lady beside my wife, who is standing immediately beside me. That's our eldest daughter, Kelly. And wonderful young man. He's a Christian. He's committed. He's studying online, trying to get a master's through Liberty. And I just praise God for them. And then my mom is in the middle. She's in her mid-80s, going up. And I'm so glad for her. And then our second daughter is standing nearby. And our son. So there's Kelly, Kerry, and Kev. Our three children, Kelisa, Keroni, and Kevoy. And we're so happy for them. My wife, Flo, and I are just so elated that God has given them to us and also given us a wonderful son-in-law. Amen. Amen. If you're a son-in-law here today, God bless you. So, I'm originally from Jamaica, and you see the proximity where Jamaica is as highlighted on the map to where the U.S. is. The nearest tip, I think, is Florida. And that's where we're living. No, just my wife and I, our children are still in Jamaica. And my former ministry, I served as a church planter in a little community that we went. We're in a termite-infested place when we went. And then God provided. We went to a tent. And then God provided as our church grew. And we were able to buy land for $1 Jamaican, which was a miracle. And this was about almost an acre of land for $1 Jamaican. And then God helped us to build a home for our church that was there. And that's there. And we were able to move in. Just God has given us wonderful people. We were really involved in the community. And that's 2007 when we were able to move in and involve in the ministry. We really serve the community for an opportunity to get the gospel out. We make no apologies for it. Church is about getting the gospel to people. But the gospel has a practical way of demonstrating itself. If there's change in our hearts, there ought to be change in our lives and how we deal with people. And so there was just all this outreach to the community to help those who are in need, but also to provide for us an opportunity to share the good news with them. So I want you to know, we're about doing what God called us to do. Whether it be through children's ministry, or like helping the elderly with a home, or an outdoor latrine, that was what it was. That's what it was about. And that's me dressed up all there, because I love teaching children. That's just one of the things. I love dressing up and, you know, teaching them, because I believe that if you're able to change a child's life, just as God did for me at age 10, then you'll have them. Amen? So we just did a lot. Evangelism, we facilitated groups, mission teams at the time, and we're out in the community. I was on the end of that Samaritan's purse. All right? So you pack those gifts, you do that here?
Yes.
Listen, we receive them. All right? And I was one of those who would go out and present the gospel in the schools before we gave them out. And then the whole plan changed that we're doing it through churches. And so our church became that center where all the churches would come. I or somebody else would give a Bible lesson and present the gospel, and the whole process would start to, you know, with the follow-up and so on. Just wonderful ministry. Continue doing that. I'm not on the receiving end anymore. I'm now on the giving end. Amen?
Amen.
So I serve with the mission. Our mission IGM is in 24 countries of our world. We have over about 150 national pastors, church planters, and the missionaries. Kind of a mix. It's more national pastors and church planters than missionaries. But we have one. I served as a missions field coordinator for the Caribbean, but I also have added responsibility as, you know, working with under-resourced national pastors and church planters around the world. And as outlined there, what's our biblical goal? It's there. It's together reaching the world for Christ. That's really what it is. You know, together building the kingdom of God, together sharing the gospel, together reaping the harvest, and importantly, together rejoicing in the harvest. That's why we send out, and just as our other missionaries do, send out these newsletters, so that you can rejoice. You can see what God is doing through the ministry. And I want to talk with our sister, where is she? Because, you know, I'm sure there are national pastors in Zimbabwe where she's going that we would like to connect with to see if we could help. So this is our vision for my wife and I as we served in this capacity to provide ministry essentials to frontline workers in the gospel ministry so that through evangelism and reproducible discipleship, we can together reach the world for Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We're part of the supply chain. And in every army, you need to have that supply line. Or else those who have gained grounds at the battlefront are going to lose out if that supply chain is cut. You and I are a part of that. As you do what you can, we help. And where I stand and where our mission stand is to ensure that the supply reach the places where that it should get. So we help, we take, I do take nationals into churches here in the U.S. so that they can share their ministry, so that churches can partner with them to help them in support. And you know what that is like for those of you who know Pastor Rao from India. Dr. Newhart has been here. And also advocate when I don't have a national, I do go into churches and speak on behalf of some of these national pastors and church planters who are in need of support. Am I talking too fast? Okay. So, also involved in training. I do have some experience in the serving in a Bible college and served for many years. And so, still involved in training, helping national pastors, as we also supply resources to them on the field. But, you know, we work with nationals. They're vested. You know, missionaries play a very vital role. And I want to say this up front. I said it last night, I'll say it again. It's not a competing relationship between nationals and missionaries. It's a complementary relationship. We're on the same team. And God has used the modern missionary movement over the years to plant the seed. And there are many, I see some of our brothers and sisters in this very congregation who have been reached as a result of missionaries. And now God has turned the whole thing around, that those who have been reached on the field will continue to go out with the gospel. That was always God's plan. It was never intended that, you know, it would just be sending churches doing all of that. But so we praise God for what he has done there. And we work with them. And I just want to give you, let us see a few of the nationals. This guy is a peasant in Uganda. I advocate for him. His name is Paul Okoth. But yet he has planted 5 churches between 2017 and now. And he's a peasant. Planted 5 churches. And we seek to stand beside them. These are some of the churches that our mission was able to help to get support from churches here to help him to put up a place instead of meeting under the trees. So this is Paul Sayati and his wonderful wife, and they are involved in street outreach. They do baptize. You think about a River Jordan experience, this is it in some of these countries where they do baptize people. And to think that it is through the gifts of our brethren here who partner with nationals that we're able to do that. And it's just a wonderful thing. He's also a trainer of men to go out, to prepare them to go and plant other churches. I think about our brother, Francois, in Haiti, who is in the thick of things, in the midst of the chaos that is reigning in Haiti. But yet he's still there presenting the gospel and preaching. And we need to stand beside these men. The Bible says that we're to remember those who are in bonds as being in bond with them. Those who are in chains as being chained with them in the ministry. We're in the free world. But yet there are those who are in danger just to present the gospel every day. But you know what? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. And thank you for praying for these, our brothers. I think about our brethren in India and who undergo great persecution for the gospel's sake, but yet they are still going with the gospel. Let me tell you, Jesus said, if they did it to me, they will do it to you. And because you're not experiencing it here in the US as yet, it doesn't mean that we are free from that responsibility to stand with our brethren. So pray for us. Pray for us as we go with the gospel. And tonight I'll tell you a little bit more when you come back. And please, as our sister said, we do have the brochures and stuff that are out there that you can, you know, look at and take, and so you keep us in prayer. I'm done. All right? Pastor. Want to take some time this morning and look in the Word. And with that, I want to invite you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. And it reads, are you there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, or brought us back to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us this ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people back to him. Know then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beg you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him, referring to Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin, but that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, and I ask that by your Holy Spirit, empower me to speak with clarity and shed light on the minds of those who listen, who you intended to hear this message today. Fulfill your purpose, we pray, as we think about a heart for missions. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was a child, there's one insect that I disliked greatly, and that was the caterpillars. Anybody with me here like caterpillars? You know, they're very destructive, and I think they're ugly. So the natural thing for a boy to do is what? With something that you don't like. Exactly. So under my feet, it would go. I would always crush them until somebody told me that caterpillars are what became, or what would become, butterflies. That was a shock to me. How in the world could that be possible? A creature so earthbound and destructive would actually take to the skies and fly away. How could that possibly happen? But it's true. Caterpillars do become butterflies. And butterflies are very productive, pollinating the flowers and the fruit trees. Without them, I tell you, we wouldn't have any fruit to eat, I guess, or less. I want to say that missions at its core is about change. And for the believer, when considering missions, it is a change from what they want to do to what God wants done. And for those to whom the missionary activity is directed, it is a change in their lives for all eternity. So today, as we consider our conference theme, A Heart for Missions, I want to speak to you on the topic, change is possible. And when we talk about change, we mean to convert from one thing to something else that it was not before. It's like, it's to be transformed like this ugly, this grumpy, yucky caterpillar into a beautiful, productive butterfly. That's change. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21 outlines this for us. Speak to us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want you to examine three revelations that will help us recognize that change is possible in the lives of people. And this is why we should have a heart for missions. It's possible for people to change. It's possible for the lost world to be saved. Or else Jesus would not have come and incarnated himself among us. And that's why missionaries go today, to incarnate themselves among people. Because they must bring this message of change. The first revelation is that Jesus Christ is the agent of change. To be the agent of change is to be the one who makes change possible. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. In other words, such a person is like a new building. It's new, it's been built. Something mysteriously miraculous and supernatural takes place in a person's life immediately after they have trusted Christ as their Savior. A change will take place because it is a work of God by His Spirit. This wonderful, pure, and desired change cannot be explained by natural means. How does it happen? The verse says, if any man be in Christ, any person, regardless of age or stage or condition that they may find themselves in life, if you are in Christ, if you come to that place where you receive Christ, the message of the church is Jesus Christ, who died, buried, rose again. If you receive him, if you embrace him, change will come to your life. It's possible. Amen. To be in Christ is to embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Deliverer. It's to acknowledge him as the sinless Son of the Creator of the universe. The same Jesus who was pure from all sin, from all error, but he took our sins. He faced the judgment of God the Father on our behalf. He died for our sins, was buried, but praise God, on the third day he rose again, never to die anymore. You and I were born sinners, And the Bible says we can more or less delineate from the Bible that sin is anything we think, say, or do that God says is wrong. You remember that in Sunday school? That's the simplest definition there is. Whether it be for a child or an adult. We're sinners. We're born in sin. We think things that are wrong. We say things that are wrong. We do things that are wrong. As the Bible tells us in 1 John 3 verse 5. And it tells us that, you know, we know that he was manifested to take away our sins. He was made known to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No sin at all. Jesus came to take away our sins. Because we are sinners by nature and by choice. To be in Christ is to unashamedly identify with Jesus, who suffered and died for our sins. This is how a sinner becomes a new creature or a new person, when he embraces and identifies with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, his new leader. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15 says it like this. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He not only died but was resurrected from the dead and is alive. Do we need to restate it? I believe we need to do. Because if you do not believe in the resurrection of Christ, it is an indication you're saying, I don't trust the scriptures, I don't trust this Lord. How can one rise from the dead? This was a question that the philosophers had an issue with, because they could not think it through, because they did not see a natural way in which how this could happen. Then they dismissed it. But how could you dismiss it if you are dealing with a God who is supernatural? One who is beyond the natural. He's the one who created all things. And he's able to raise the dead. And he has. That's embracing Christ. When we believe him. When we decide to submit ourselves to him. And to follow him as our Savior. As a change agent, Jesus is like dye that changes the color of the cloth. The sweetener that adds flavor to water. The heat that adds warmth. To a cold room. He's the one who transforms a sinner into a saint. He takes a person from being hopeless to becoming hopeful. From living in spiritual darkness, bondage and fear, into spiritual light, freedom, faith and courage. From being a child of the world and of the devil and a child of hell to becoming a child of God, with his destination for heaven. And a better life here on earth as he follows Christ. To be in Christ is to experience life transforming change. That's why we have church. We who stand before you, those who come every Sunday to worship, we are testimony of what God has done. If we should ask for the testimonies in this place this morning, we would have no time. We would not go home until late this evening. Because we all have our stories, what our lives were like, what I was like before I got saved, what happened to me. Christ happened to me. He came into my life. He changed me when I submitted to him. And so as a result of that, I have a different life now. This is the message of the church. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of missions. Verse 17 reads, all things are passed away. They are gone by. They are being dismissed. Day by day, we are growing more to be like Christ. All sinful habits, desires, practices, lifestyle, thinking, and other sinful appetites are passing away when you come to know Christ. The presence of Christ has brought a deep, sweet change to the soul. Although people's physical makeup will not change, something happened in their life and in their spirit. A beautiful awakening has taken place. Bible commentator Dr. Thomas Constable said, at conversion, one still has the same physical features, basic personality, genetic constitution, same parents, same sinful environment. However, the old things are passing away refers to the old perspectives, prejudices, misconceptions, enslavements, etc. God therefore adds new things at conversion, new spiritual life. The Holy Spirit living in the believer, forgiveness of all sins, Christ's righteousness, and also a new viewpoint. End of quote. This is a wonderful change that God wants to bring to people. That's why we do missions. That's why the church do evangelism. That's why your pastor and others go to invite people. That's why you tell people to come. Hear the message of the gospel. This is a Christ who can change your life. To be in Christ is to become alive to the Spirit of God. For Ephesians 2 verse 1 tells us, the Apostle Paul declares rather that you hath he made alive, you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The newly converted person becomes saved, delivered, a new creation, a new person. He is born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. John 1 verse 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them God will give the authority, the right, the power to become sons of God, children of God. Just imagine this. Picture it with me. I know that my life is broken. I know that I'm in a mess. And you mean God wants me to become his child? Yes. That's why he sent Jesus. He left the splendors of heaven. The Holy Son of God took on flesh, became man. It's important. That's why that little song, the chorus of the song says, what a wonderful thing. It says, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. He came down from heaven to redeem us. Jesus Christ, God's unique, sinless Son, is the only one capable of guaranteeing this transformation through the spiritual new birth we call salvation. Titus 3 verse 5 and 5 to 7 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. He saved us. We were not good enough. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you look around at the people in the church and you think, oh, they're good enough. They were not good enough. We were all wretches, sinners, unworthy. So it's not by our righteousness that we're saved, as it says here in the text, in Titus 3 verse 5. It's according to God's mercy. He saved us by washing and regeneration. That's talking about the new birth and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly. God poured that out on undeserving people. If you are here this morning in this church and you know you're a sinner and you say, I'm undeserving, understand where sin abound, grace did much more abound. He came for you. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We go with the message of the gospel. The church has to develop the heart for missions to go, because this is why Jesus came. And Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. That's why we go. That's why we send as a church those who go. Jesus Christ is the change agent at work. Only he can make the old new. The crooked straight, the dirty clean, the sinner forgiven, and the child of the devil and of hell to become a child of God and heaven. He gives us the whole package, and everything in it is new. This is why we should have a heart for mission. Because God is doing a work, and it is a privilege to be partnering with God to do what he wants to be done. The second revelation is that God the Father is the initiator of change. He initiates change. He's the one who set this thing up. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who had reconciled, brought us back to himself by Jesus Christ." He is the one who has done it, God the Father. He allows the death of his Son so that you and I can be really redeemed. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is how God shows his love towards us. He initiates change, for change to take place. And he wants all people to be saved. He loves all people. Ken Ham, Christian apologist, says it this way: "There's only one race of people, and that is the human race." He says, "God has made of one blood all nations of men who dwell on the earth." And John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world," referring to people, "that he gave" who? His own. Remember, God the Father loves the world, so he gave who? His only begotten Son. To do what? To take our sins, to become our substitute, to die for the sinner, to face the just wrath of God against sin of men. So he initiates this change. Praise God. Amen. Third and finally, born again believers are the messengers of change. Because it tells us in verse 18 of chapter 5, it says, "All things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That word means to bring back that which was separated. Bring us back in a right relationship with God. He has given to us that ministry. How can we be involved in this ministry? Through missions. Through giving where we cannot go. God has given believers this responsibility to carry the message to the lost. You know, I want to conclude because I want you to understand that unless you and I have a heart for missions, we won't partner with God in what he's doing. We must understand, what is it, God, that you want? If he's our Lord and Master, why not obey him? Why not follow him? Well, let me just say it like this. Change is possible for all who have been messed up by sin. Amen? Change is possible for even marriages that are on the rocks. Amen? Change is possible for believers who once walked with the Lord and are no longer walking in the faith. Amen? Amen. But change is also possible for those who you and I will reach with the gospel as we develop this heart for missions and go with the message. Listen, we must start in our Jerusalem, which is your home. And our brother talked about it. Start in our home. And you have done that. I've been with your pastor. And I'm impressed by your pastor. I love your pastor. Guess what? Your pastor loves people. And that's how we are to be. The speed of the pastor should be the speed of the church. Amen. He's going out. What are we doing? We should be going out. But then we are not only going out from where we are, where we can't go, we can support those who go. The speed of the pastor again. So this missions conference has been planned to say, get the vision. God is about people, all kinds of people. So there are people from going to the country of Zimbabwe. There are people going to also the foreign land of and all over the world. Why? Because God wants us to have a heart for missions. Change is possible for those who will hear this life-saving gospel. This is what we have to offer. And if you're here today in the house, in the church, and you need this change, it's not just for those who are in the foreign field. It's for you who are here today. We have been changed. We are witnesses of that. Members in this church are witnesses of that. And God wants to make your witness if you will put your trust in him today. Come to know him as your Lord. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passing away. Are passed away. All things are becoming new. That can be you if you're here and you don't know him. Would you like to trust Christ today? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I don't know how you do your, and Pastor will come to, if you have to do an altar call or whatever, but I just want to pray as you bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit to you this message. I commit to you, Lord, those who have heard and those who will hear this message today. I commit to you, Lord, all that was said from the other missionaries and what you're doing. It's all about the change that you want to bring about in the hearts and in the lives of people who will put their trust in you. Because that's your plan, that's your purpose, that's what you intended when you sent your son, and that's what you intended when you left us here to complete the job before your return. Help us to be faithful. Help us to have a heart for missions, and not just to talk about it, but to get involved here at home and be on our own shores. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to ask my wife to play through People Need the Lord. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Would you bow your heads for a moment this morning?